Against the Law. It's part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knob. Babyface Joel Solomon coming to you via Hawaii. Yes, still producing this mess. And joining me as always, my gurus of gambling, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren the Parlor Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
We are recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. We're going to give you our Thanksgiving games, the sides, the totals, the props, the first touchdown, which, by the way, we have been magnificent. Another winner. Good job by you, Harry, with Godwin. Only paid 6-1, but goes to show you, if you just bet every one of our first touchdown picks, you are up, what now, Brother Bride? 73 units. I don't even know what a unit is, but it's good. I mean, one is good. If you're up one, you make a profit. We're up 73. So, Harry, nice job. You stole Godwin from me, really, by like 10 seconds, because I insist that we have different picks. But congratulations. Yeah. I don't know how you knew.
Well, you know, I know you liked Evans a little bit, too, and you took Evans. And it was a toss-up between either one, and I just went with Godwin just because I thought, you know, honestly – thought the line was a little low, so I thought it was a little phony, but so that's why I took Godwin over Evans.
There you go. No one cares why. Just you got it, and it's a winner. Tampa Bay, a winner. Big winner over the Giants, which is good enough to get rid of Jason Garrett. I mean, a few minutes ago, it was reported that Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator, let go. The clapper.
Everybody
join in. Sal, you shouldn't be clapping about that. I mean, it's fun, right? Isn't it fun watching this?
It is. I feel like if he's not on if he's on another team, he's not on mine. So I get worried that he can come back to Dallas. That's the only thing.
The ultimate slap in the face is finally over by Dallas. Dallas wins that parlay, kid. Sal, you guys win that one. You guys won that one from the beginning of the hire. And now the slap in the face is over.
I guess, except for the Giants. The Giants were smarter to get rid of him in just 26 games, where we held on to him for, like 2 decades?
Good point.
Yeah, that's why, Sal, I mean, today really is Tony Romo Appreciation Day, because everybody here, including Harry, should know what Romo did under that coach and how good he was in spite of his coach, which, Sal, you and I are on record of constantly talking about that. And you know, so to me, it's Tony Romo Appreciation Day today.
I like that. I think every day should be, but yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, for me, it is, but especially because people have to realize how darn good that guy was. Because
this other guy was, Jason Garrett. I know.
Right.
I'm with you.
Right. Romo said, look, if it wasn't for Romo, Garrett would have probably been out of a job 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. He kept it going. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe we look down on Romo then for sure. I don't know how you look at it. But anyway, he's gone. And turns out, Brother Bri, when there's a meme going around with three receivers running into each other 10 yards down the field, you have no choice but to fire the offensive coordinator. That's what happened to the Giants. They were disgusting yesterday.
That was great. That was the main thing, right? Orlovsky put that out there and then fired not too long. I mean that's... Usually you see maybe two receivers running into each other. The fact you had literally three receivers.
Three is a lot.
Colliding with each other. That's really
not a Hail Mary either. About 8 yards down the field. Not that much going on. So anyway, you could make money betting our first touchdown picks. We'll have three of them for you in the for the Thursday games coming up. You could also make money or at least win prizes at our Extra Points Arcade. That's extrapoints.com/arcade. Lots of free to play games. Lots of prize. Well, I'll tell you what the prize is. It's a golden hat. And our winners from week 11, the college pick'em, Scott Perkins, 14, right? Good job by you. Nice. The NFL pick'em, Dylan Shorey, 13, right? Harry, second with 12. Oh, Harry. Oh. Harry, so close to getting the golden hat right there. Just one behind Dylan Shorey. And that's going to be an even more bitter pill to swallow when I tell you that the NFL prop quiz was won with 8 out of 10 correct by the Parlay Kid. Congratulations, Parlay Kid. Yes. You get a gold hat.
Nice.
You and I have gold hats. I think Damashek has one from something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Gold hat, Harry.
Yes. You know something about something, Parlay Kid.
8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 is great. Those questions
nice
are
job.
Hard.
Nice
Who's going to be the leading receiver? Who's going to more overs or under? That's tough. Not easy. Yeah. Anyway, these are up.
Wow.
These week 12 is up live. We're going to have, you have until Saturday to do the college games. We're not counting the Cincinnati game, and you'll have until Sunday to do the pro. We're going to not count the Thursday so that we can get as many of you to participate and compete for this golden hat. Harry, when do you think you'll ever win one? We got to get you one, Bri. It'll be fun.
Got to get one sometime.
Well, I'll wear it. I don't know if Harry will wear it, though.
Yeah.
Harry's not a big hat guy.
No, I'm not.
You're not a hat guy, right?
Unless I'm in the hot tub wearing my cap, right, Bri?
Yeah. It's about it. That's really about it.
He's a hat tub guy? I don't know. Anyway. Babyface, what do you think? You think Harry will ever get a golden hat? I think it's in the cards.
Do we have a size that fits him? I don't know.
I know. It's going to start with a sombrero. All right. So anyway, let's get to these Thursday games. Chicago, 3.5-point favorite. God, these games are so bad. The Bears, 3.5, 41.5 at Detroit, winless Detroit. These two teams are 3-16-1. And the best is Matt Nagy. I think I read that right, Brother Bri. He was told he'll be fired after the Thursday game.
How can that be right, though? I mean, that's what it said. But how can that be right? If you're going to fire him, how can you possibly fire a guy after the game?
Can't.
You have to fire him before. What kind of shit is that? Who wants to play? Like, I don't know. He wouldn't care. The team wouldn't care. I don't get it. It makes no sense.
Of course he wouldn't care. You can have dinner. You can have Thanksgiving dinner with your family. Or you can go and only risk downside humiliation by the Detroit Lions, who are winless. What would you rather do? I don't know. If I'm going, first of all, is he replaced by Jason Garrett? Did they just ship him right to Chicago? Is this what happens? I don't know what's going to be. No, they'll just have an interim in there. But if I'm told I'm fired and I have one more game against Detroit, I'm going out swinging. I'm wearing like that banana hammock that right? Like Borat wore. I'm forcing Andy Dalton to punt on first down. I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. People forget. He'll be coaching the Panthers in 5 years or some shit, right? He's going to get a job. Who are we kidding here? But as far as the game goes, like I said, two teams combined 3-16-1. Andy Dalton against Tim Boyle. This is like the creamed onion casserole of Thanksgiving games. And you know what? I'm not going to miss a play. They could play with no quarterbacks. They could snap it to the punter all day, and I'm in for 3 hours. That's what's sick about me, Parley Kid. We're such junkies. Bears beat the Lions 24-14 in week 4. I think Tim Boyle has a few problems against his front seven, even without Khalil Mack. It's Roquan Smith. It's Robert Quinn. But I like this team. I like the Lions. I'm taking them. They did give up 117 to Elijah Mitchell, the Bears did. And DeAndre Swift might be the best player on the field. 116 scrimmage yards over the last 4. The Lions defense has played well. They could have pulled it out last week against the Browns. They have fewer than 250 yards passing in 3 straight games. They held Pittsburgh and Cleveland to 16 or less. Boring, boring game, which I watch every play, won by a Cairo Santos field goal. I'm going to say 21-20. Bears win, but don't cover. Harry, give us your take.
Yeah, you know what, Sal? I know you like the Lions here. I'm going to take the Lions here as well. But I'm going to take them at plus 146. They were plus 162 yesterday on FanDuel, but plus 146 on the money line. It was a spite bet for me. Another spite bet. That's what you're good at. I'm good at, boys. So I'm going to take a spite bet here.
You won that one, but I feel like you've been doing it your whole life and you've lost. Like that might have been your first one.
Spite bet versus the Bears because they screwed me out of $1,000 because I would have cleaned up if they would have won that game against Baltimore. Chicago, by the way, also lost 5 in a row, and they've looked awful. And by the way, part of like it also, you wanted to make comment in that Steeler game against the Bears when Fields had a great second half, his best half of the season. Nothing good since. So give me, and he's toast probably for the season. It's probably be smart too. I'm taking the line. Spite bet here against the Bears, plus 146, money line, Detroit.
Imagine your spite bet. Like, you take this, Bears. I'm betting the winless Lions. Eat that. Like that's some spite. Right. I mean, I'm taking
Lions,
two.
Lions have, by the way, Lions have covered 3 of the last 4, though.
I know. I think I mentioned something like that. Yeah. No, they're good. They've been tough. Parlay Kid, you're with the Lions, too. I feel like this is the easy pick. And like Andy Dalton has experience and everything else. And Tim Boyle didn't do anything last week, but we're all going Lions.
Well, I think you have to respect the fact that the Lions do seem to play hard on a weekly basis, right? At least I'm not sure what kind of Coach Campbell is in terms of his X's and O's, but I think he can get his guys to play hard as witnessed by a tie on the road against Pittsburgh. And really, in that game the whole way against Cleveland, even after I think falling behind, was it at least in double digits possibly in that Cleveland game, and still battling him back and have a chance to win it at the end. So I think that's something to be said for this Lions team. Like you said, they might have the best offensive player on the field and Swift here. I mean, you could make a case for Montgomery, I guess, too. So, but they do battle. And I do. You at some point, you think they're due for a win, as Harry's saying, just for the fact, if you look at the last 2 weeks, they're inching closer and closer. The Bears, we don't know really who their quarterback is going to be. I'm guessing it's going to be Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I think it's official. We're doing this Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, I think so.
I don't really think that hurts the Bears, really, for the way their offense is. Dalton did a pretty nice job the other day coming off the bench for Fields. Yeah. But either way, I think that Detroit on a rather ordinary, this is, like you said, so this is a bland football game. It's probably a good way to, you could kind of do your thing, come back to the game, do whatever you need to do while keeping one eye on the game this whole time. If you have money on it, that's what we're all going to have.
So yeah, let's go with the Lions here.
With the 3.5, I think they battle and they keep this game close. Chicago just doesn't have enough firepower put them away.
Brother Bryce probably doing the smart thing, probably figuring a lot of long drives that result in nothing. You're going under the total 41.5.
Yeah, I'm going under the 41.5. Even though the Lions are 6-4 against the spread, it's hard just backing them. I mean, offensively, they are awful. I mean, if you saw Boyle last week, 77 yards passing on 23 attempts and the two interceptions, likely starting again.
And TV even 12.
what are the odds of that, though? But even with Goff, the Lions have not scored more than 19 points in the last 9 games. So I think, you mentioned that first game was 24-14. I think it's probably comparable. And even with the defensive injuries on the Bears side, I think they're going to be able to limit the Lions here. And to your point earlier, the Lions have actually played pretty well defensively. So, yeah, I think this is going to be one of those games. I think we're texting each other during the game. You know we're going to be getting texts from Alex saying, this is the worst game of all time. This is so boring.
For sure.
So boring.
But hopefully he oversleeps.
It is funny. You brought up a good point about the Dalton punting on first down. That reminds me of our former coach Scudder, who used to anything more than like 3rd and 8, he would do a quick kick. Back in the day in like the 80s, 90s, or late, what was that, late 80s, early 90s? If it was more than like 3rd and 10, he would always like quick kick, and he thought he was a genius from it.
So I mean, that's not a good way. There are high school coaches who get praised and get articles written about him for never punting. And then our guy, God bless him, Scuds, would punt on 3rd down. All right. Yeah.
So good.
That sounds about right. Hey, Brian, I thought about you. I read Peter King's column Monday, and he was writing who got the – it seemed like he was going to say that he evaluated the Raiders-Bears trade, the Khalil Mack trade, and it seemed like it was going to be like he was going to go after him and say, oh, the Raiders actually got the better end of this deal. I was like, oh, finally, the article I've been waiting to read. And it didn't. It basically concluded that nobody won,
right?
Well, the Raiders for sure could have. Like, it was almost, it's incredible that they screwed it up, right?
Yeah,
like, based on, like, Khalil Mack, whatever. He put up nice numbers and everything. Now he's out. But they really should have. And I guess they got Jacobs from it, right? And Edwards, is that basically what they have of it? But every other pick. Oh, it's just a disaster.
So, yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing. Their first round picks have just been all disaster. I mean, they've all been disasters for the most part. It's so bad. Oh, God.
Hey, you know what? You can turn around a disaster. Go to FanDuel Sportsbook. Enjoy a football feast this Thanksgiving day by winning $150 on a $5 bet. New customers, this is your chance to gobble up 30-1 odds. Just place your first bet on any NFL team to win Thanksgiving. Okay, guys. We're going to go over the other two games. If you could get 30-1 on any team just to win, we'd go Cowboys, right? Cowboys across the board, right? Bears, Lions. Yeah,
I think you'd have to.
Yeah. Harry, you know you would. Stop it.
Yeah, I guess.
FanDuel, sports betting made simple. Always hooking you up with great offers. Number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure. And when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. Sign up with promo code AGAINSTALLODS to get in on the action, celebrate Thanksgiving by winning $150 on a $5 bet on the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, remember to use promo code Against the Odds when you sign up exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. All right, let's, we're not at that game yet because we have to do our first touchdown. We can't leave everybody in the dark here. DeAndre Swift, I mean, I talked him up. I said he's the best player on the field. He's plus 650 at a 57-yard touchdown last week. He had 33 attempts 2 weeks ago. Not so many last week, but he had the big touchdown. He had a game with 96 receiving yards. He's really having an underrated season. I think when people were just about to write him off, he has four touchdowns on the year, which for the Lions, I mean, you might as well just send them to Canton right now. Four touchdowns on that team. I think plus 650 is still good value for a team that's a slight underdog with, like I said, the best player, DeAndre Swift, plus 650. All right, Harry, you're coming off the big win. What do you like?
Yeah, by the way, Swift also had the first touchdown against the Rams of all people. He had the first touchdown on that one. So He's had one this year. I'm going to go, Detroit Lions wide receiver Khalif Raymond at 14-1. Look, guy only has two touchdowns a season. Just happens to have both of them against the Bears. So give me Khalif Raymond at 14-1. Take a little shot here.
It's 14 now? It went up?
Yeah, it was 13. Now it's up to 14.
Wow. All right. Parlay Kid, what's your pick? First touchdown.
Yeah, my first touchdown pick. So I'm going to go with a guy who scored a big one the other day late in the game, hooking up with Dalton and Marquise Goodwin, who over the last three games, he was 10-1. That might have changed too, Sal. He's got. I'm seeing him at plus 950.
I'm looking at it, plus 950, yeah.
But it's all right. I don't know. I'm looking to say plus 950. It looks like it just changed. Godwin has caught three long passes in each of the last three games. He's a home run threat. Maybe he feels a little bit more comfortable with Dalton at quarterback, being that he ended the last game in a fine fashion, looking for him to maybe step up on the fast turf, being that he is a downfield threat early in the game. Let's go Marquise Goodwin at plus 950.
All right. I didn't get to see David Montgomery too much of him against the Ravens, but what do you have, 14 for 50? He's a big favorite for someone who's just getting back to action here at plus 360 to score the first touchdown. Brother Bry, we like tight ends in this spot.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hockenson here at 9-1. He leads the Detroit in targets. Last week, he was really the only one Boyle could complete a pass to. And, you know, tight ends and running backs really are the easiest for backup QBs to complete passes to. So last year, he had a big game on Thanksgiving. I think he could have a pretty good game here, too. So at 9-1, I like him.
All right, let's hear the Better Edge music. That thing's definitely winning a Grammy. Dallas minus 7.5, 50.5. It went up to 7.5 against the Las Vegas Raiders. My better edge goes to the Cowboys. Raiders offense has packed it in. They averaged 14 points over the last 3 weeks, and they're right around that number too, 13, 16 right there. Dak, 15-6 against the spread as a favorite of 6 or more points in his career. It's going to be tough to score with a gimpy Zeke and no CD and no Cooper probably, but this Raiders defense has not been good. 77% red zone scores allowed. I like a 31-16 final. Parlay Kid, you with me? Let's do it. 7.5.
I'm with you, Sal. My better edge goes to the Cowboys as well. Dak rebounds from an off game last week, or just actually not even last week, just a few short days ago. And the ever-improving Dallas defense stifles this Raider offense and makes life miserable for Mr. Carr there at quarterback. The defense gets it done. The offense does enough. Tyron Smith is back. That's a big help for the Cowboys. Cowboys cover this spread, Sal. 28-17.
All right, Brother Bry, you're a homer here. I know you like the 7.5.
I'm a homer here. Yeah, I'm taking the Raiders. My better edge goes to the Raiders plus 7.5. I said before this Raiders team is done. I do mean it. Mentally, I think Carr has checked out. But I do think, I know you're saying the Raiders have been bad defensively in the red zone, but they have been good in general. I've been impressed with them all year long, and usually typically that's our downfall. But it's possible they collapse because, you know, it's possible the defense collapses because offensively they just haven't put them in great spots. But, you know, weird things happen in these Thanksgiving Cowboy games. The Raiders, the one thing is the Raiders will be fired up for this one. You know, I do think, you know, this is probably the one last game they could get up for. Carr will make some plays downfield against the Cowboys. And with the Cowboys missing pieces in this game offensively, I do think the Raiders should limit them a little bit. So I know Smith coming back is going to be is big for them. But anyway, I think it's close. I think it's like 27-23, 24-20 type of game. I kind of like the under on this side here.
All right, Harry, you don't like that score. What are you going with?
No. I think Dallas. I like Dallas here. I like the over 30 points for them to score in this game too. I think they bounce back in a big way offensively. Yeah, in five games at home, the Cowboys have scored 36 or more in four of them. Bri, your Raiders wilting again in the second half of the season. They've given up 73 points in the last 2 weeks. Dallas and Dallas scoring over 30 points here. I think, like I said, over 36 in four of the last five. Dallas 41, Raiders 20.
This is tricky now, Parley Kid. What do? We bet Dallas minus 7.5, but under 29-30 points total for the team. I'm confused. No. I'm gonna have to call my accountant. All right, that's our Better Edge pick right there.
You get the edge. You get the glory. You're the winner.
Yes, The Edge is brought to you by Better Edge, bringing the edge back to the bettors with no fee sports betting at betteredge.com. You, not the book, set the price of betting lines so you can make bank with no VIG or sportsbook fees. Better Edge is available in 45 states for real money sports betting positions. This week, Better Edge is bringing back the free pick'em contest with Against the Odds. The winner receives a free copy of Madden 22. Enter for week 7 at betteredge.com/AAO. Create an account and use code AAO for $10 on your first order. Play the game without getting played at betteredge.com. Yeah, Brian, I was surprised because I looked and I thought the Raiders defense was playing well, and maybe they have over the last month, but overall 25th points per game, they allow 26.
Yeah,
well, 29th rushing yards per game, they allow 132.
Yeah.
Which is not great. And then that red zone stat I mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, I do think a lot of that's the last few weeks. And, you know, like I said, the Raiders have had some bad turnovers the last 3 or 4 weeks here. That's put them in a bad spot. But overall, I will say it seemed, I mean, for as bad as those stats sound, I think that's been the one bright spot on overall for the season for them.
Right. Yeah. Not too many bright spots for sure. All right. First touchdown. Let's do it here. Zeke is favored at 5-1, Gallup plus 650, and then Schultz plus 750. You got four Cowboys, Pollard's after Schultz, and then you have Jacobs. He's the first one, first Raider at plus 950. I'm going way down the chart here. Dak Prescott, 24-1. He had one versus Atlanta. Was that a couple weeks ago? I still think he's due on a big stage. I'm screaming. You know how it is, Parley Kid. I'm screaming for him every week to throw in a designed run, and I think I'm going to get it. I think I'm going to get it early. It's hard to believe. With how little as he runs nowadays, like maybe 2 carries, 0 last week. Hard to believe he had 9 carries versus the Eagles. Isn't that weird? That seemed like so long ago. Is that even this year? But I just have a gut feeling that he punches it in. Not much to back it up. Maybe a pass interference. Gallup's held in the end zone. Dak calls his own number. 7-3, 4:51 left, first quarter. Dak Prescott, 24-1. Brother Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going with Dalton Schultz at plus 750. I think that actually just came down to 750. But, you know, the Raiders have been pretty good against wide receivers for most of the year. I think they've limited them from like a fantasy wise. But, you know, when watching that game against the Chiefs, you know, it's still obvious like tight ends can beat them. They struggled. They've struggled against them for forever, it seems like. So I'm looking at Schultz, you know, who Dak loves to target, especially with all these weapons out. I could see him having a big game. And if there are props up, I'd probably look at, you know, receptions over or yards over for Schultz as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Parley Kid, you're going chalk here, I think.
Yeah, I'm going chalk here. So with Zeke Elliott, I think Dallas, especially if Lamb is not playing, they're missing most likely Cooper as well. I think they take to the ground here a little bit more than they have recently. Zeke does have 8 total touchdowns on the year, 7 of the rushing variety. I think they look to pound him early and often, establish the run game. I think Zeke gets a short one, and we'll call this, you know, plus 500. It's not dynamite, but not bad for a guy who's, you know, got 8 on the year so far. So let's ride with Zeke.
He got himself back in that game against Kansas City. I was a little worried there a little bit. We're going to miss a couple of weeks, but first of all, Bryce Schultz, receiving yards. What do you think it is?
Don't look. It's probably low 50s.
Yeah, good call. 51.5. So they don't have receptions yet. All right, Harry, go ahead. You have to take the Raiders. You think the Cowboys are going to blow them out, but Jacob scores first.
I do. I think he does at plus 950. Leads the Raiders with 5 touchdowns this year. And 3 of the last 5 Dallas games, the first touchdown was scored by a rushing touchdown against Dallas. So maybe Jacobs gets a touchdown right off the bat. Raiders lead 7-0. And then Dak goes to work against the putrid Raiders defensively.
Screw you. We don't need any heartache, right? I'm going to have indigestion anyway. Let's just get a big lead and that's it, right? Parlay kid, enough of this nonsense. 100%. All right. The night game, Buffalo, boy, this shot up. Was it 4.5? Now it's 5.5.
Oh,
46 wow. At New Orleans, I think. I checked it like a half hour ago.
I wonder if there was news on Kamara or something.
Probably. But you know what? I don't care. I'm going Saints. I'm taking the points. There's not a lot to love about this Bills team. Mm. I mean, you know, the preseason Bills, sure, I like this line. That's fine, but
yep.
Josh Allen's regressing. 9 passing touchdowns, 7 giveaways last 5 games versus 12-3 in the first 5. They struggle to score. They can't run the ball against a Saints team who was number 1 against the rush before the Eagles came to town, the best running team in football for some reason. Saints 8-2 against the spread in the last 10 as a home underdog. Kamara or not, I think Sean Payton has his team prepared. Everything's a must win now for the Saints, and I don't know. Asking them to cover, not a big deal here. Who dat 24? Bills 19. Yes, 5 is the number, but the Saints win. What do you think, Parlay Kid?
I agree with you here, Sal. The Saints, look, they've lost a couple in a row here. Peyton's an excellent coach. Primetime game here on Thanksgiving night. The Bills have struggled. I definitely think Peyton finds some type of way to really stay in this game the whole way. I wouldn't even be surprised if we see a Saints victory here, Sal. Mm-hmm. But I will be taking these points. As you said, Allen has regressed. There is no running game to speak of. I think we might see. The only thing that worries me is Allen maybe taking off with his legs, kind of the way Hurts did to hurt the Saints just a few days, short days ago. Mm-hmm. But that being said, this Bills team, they just don't look right now. Short week, having to travel to New Orleans. I just think the Saints will do enough to keep staying this game, if not even win this game, Sal. But let's take the points with the Saints.
All right, Harry, you're with us.
I am, guys. Yeah, absolutely. Bills, look, their wins this year, very unimpressive. 2 versus Miami versus the Jets and Washington. The one game they won impressively was against Kansas City. Trevor Siemian's been pretty good. At least 2 touchdowns in 3 of the 4 games that he's played. He's got 8 touchdowns, just 2 picks. Tough game last week, but they've had a couple of three tough losses in a row for the Saints. I think in a situation like here, it'd be great to have Kamara. I don't know what the situation is right now on them, but I'm taking the Saints here too. Can't back the Bills laying more than a field goal considering the way they're playing right now.
Yeah. All right, Brother Brock, going against us. You think this is where they wake up?
I'm going against you. Yeah. Isn't it weird? I saw a stat that the favorites, I think since 2005, are 32-14 on Thanksgiving. Yeah. And that includes the Cowboys who have been bad, right?
Like, well, you know what I was thinking?
Haven't been as good.
As we were just discussing this, I'm like, there's always a blowout game, right? So maybe we take as many -9.5.
Yeah.
As we can find.
You might be right. Yeah. Those night games are typically somewhat bad too. But you know, I know both teams are desperate here, but I just can't get behind the Saints, especially after the Bills getting blown out. I mean, you know, to beat the Bills, it seems like you have to run the ball a lot. Kamara, we don't know if he's going to be playing. They're without a couple of their top linemen. And even though Simeon's been serviceable, you know, the Bills are still good on the back end. That's the one thing. They still defend the pass pretty well. So I think they, I'm going to say they bounce back big in this one. I can't imagine it's going to be like this the whole season for the Bills.
All right. It's going to be a fun one. Boy, the quarterbacks in these games, Trevor Siemian. I mean, the Cowboys Raiders is good, but you got the two busts in the first game.
Doesn't it seem like we always get like a backup? It seems like we've gotten backup lines, quarterbacks, and like whoever the Cowboys are playing on, like Washington was like, right?
Colt backup, McCoy or something. Yeah, there's always something. Yes. Yep, for sure. All right, first touchdown. I'm going quarterback again. I think between Taysom Hill and Dak, I'm going to get one here, guys. Taysom Hill, 19-1, signed that gigantic, inexplicable contract a couple days ago. He had three rushing touchdowns a month ago over like two games. He could also catch one. You know, he does everything. A little Swiss Army knife out there. Wentz had a couple interesting runs against the Bills. Tua had a rushing touchdown against them a few weeks ago. Like I said, I like Hill. I like Dak to rush one in. 19-1 is a big, big number. Parley Kid, you're going with it too, right?
Well, so I'm going to leave that to you because we don't want to double up on that Taysom Hill pick.
It's fine. It's all right.
No. I'm going to go opposite. Oh. I do love that pick, Sal. They just gave the guy what? They redid his contract too.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I'm sure he's feeling. I don't know what they love this guy, but yet they gotta justify that contract. They gotta start using him more if they're going to give him this type of money. Mm-hmm. And I guess depending on what position he plays, it's going to depend on how much money he makes, whatever. But Sal, I like the Saints too, but I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills tight end, Dawson Knox, at 14-1. At 14-1 around. I love these tight ends and these props. The big targets around the goal line. Knox, another tight end who can, you know, he doesn't have to be on the goal line to score, but he hasn't been healthy. I think he's finally healthy. Allen, I think Allen played his best ball when this kid was healthy. I think he looks for him early. Let's get it. That 14-1, pretty good odds there.
Mm. Stephon Diggs, by the way, is the favorite to score first here at 7. Right. Brian, maybe I have the wrong quarterback. Maybe I'll just take all quarterbacks, all six on Thanksgiving. Josh Allen, plus 950, you like.
It's kind of fun. Taysom Hill one I always like. I mean, Taysom Hill, the score touchdown is usually pretty good. And Darren with the Knox one's pretty good. I think we maybe gave that out. Somebody maybe gave that out that one other game. And I think he did catch the first one, but it was called back on a penalty.
Right.
One against, but yeah, but
on
I like.
That was, yeah, against, yeah. The Titans. I had given him out before. Got called back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bounce back with it. Let's go, Knox. Come on.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Allen at plus 950. So, you know, if you watched obviously that Saints game last week, they struggled so much against the run with Hurts, right? He had three rushing touchdowns. Saints have given up five rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks, and Allen has three on the season. So this is another one I would probably look at Allen over rushing yards in this game. And then also for the, for a first touchdown.
All right. There you go. Harry, finish it off here. First touchdown.
Well, I have Kamara at plus 750.
Why are you doing that? We're gonna have to change the graphic to like in an hour when.
I just knew this. I just checked the score, the line an hour ago, and it was 4.5. Now you're saying it's 5.5. So
I know, but do you notice he hasn't played like in 3 weeks?
All right, okay. Well, I was gonna take it. He was great in holidays. He had a touchdown on Halloween. He had six in Christmas last year. But let's change it up. Hey,
Kamara's great. He's just probably not playing. I don't know.
But I
don't
know. To tell you. So now let's go with the University of Dayton tight end Adam Troutman. How about that? I'll take that.
He's out.
Oh, Jesus.
Out.
I mean,
come on. He's out, Harry.
You know what? You're staying with Kamara, and we're gonna put your big fat head by his face.
Why don't I just let somebody else get it right instead of myself?
Right? Yeah, right. I'll okay. You want to wait till I pick someone, then you take it, and then we'll give you credit. I mean, you take either you pick it right or you take credit for someone else.
All right. You know what? Then how about this? The Saints defense. I'll take it again. I took it earlier.
No, just pick again. One. You're going like six. Just stay with Kamara. You're right.
He's the Saints defense.
He's great on holidays. You're right.
Yeah.
Just, let's just go.
Seven touchdowns in the last two holidays.
I know. He's good. He's God. What do you, Joel, what is that? He's great on holidays?
Well, I mean, you know, Hanukkah is early this year, so that could count. Yeah, right. But no, it's, I knew Harry would go defense after, and that is, you know, he did a ball check, and now we're going.
So what's your official pick, Harry? Now.
Well, I'm changing it to the New Orleans defense special team.
New Orleans defense is out. Okay, no, we're going to go with that. All right, you get that. That's fine. Yeah, we got to hurry up. Let's take a quick break. Let's regroup. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about the match. All right, Bryson DeChambeau, -116 against Brooks Koepka, +112. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. This is at the Wynn. We're going to be pounding leftovers, watching two guys that don't like each other square off. Koepka, I think it's fair to say Koepka hates Bryson more, right? We know their history. I wasn't sure what this was going to be, Brother Bry. I think you feel the same way. It's like, oh, this is a great rivalry. We finally have a golf rivalry. Who would have ever thought? And now it's like making Isaiah Stewart and LeBron go out to a day spa. But, you know, because they hugged at the Ryder Cup, and then both guys said it was forced. Even this week, DeChambeau said it's disgusting the way Koepka has tried to knock me down. There's no need for it in the game. He just tried to knock me down every angle, every avenue, every way. I don't know. They're playing 12 holes. It's said that they're playing 12 because DeChambeau wanted to play 24 and Koepka wanted to play none. And so they settled on 12. But I just think Koepka just wants to be done with it. And taking DeChambeau. He won with Rogers over Mickelson and Brady. You know, Bryson maybe just wants it more. And, you know, I'm rooting for Brooks, so I'll take the emotional hedge and bet Bryson. How do you guys feel?
I hate this match. I hate the fact that they're playing this. I hate the fact that they kind of made up. Whether or not they did after, whether or not this is show, you know, before or after, I don't know. I hate that they're playing. You want to see them matched up on a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
There's something on the line in the future where it's crazy. I don't know. You know, they had that. They played this whole around the Ryder Cup. They played the whole stepbrothers angle, right? How they hated each other and then they loved each other. But I don't know. I just can't get behind it in this game, this match, unless something happens where, you know, Koepka gets pissed off at Bryson,
they're not going to be talking shit for 12 holes, right? So, and I don't want to see him playing grab ass either. So, I'm the same way. It's Barkley and Mickelson are doing the commentary.
That could be. I mean, that could be. I mean, it still could be entertaining. It's just I just hate the friendliness of this at this point.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That'll be fun to bet on. Hey, Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. We did have a letter from Kev Walton. He says, why is Sal and Parlay Kid Cowboys fans and Brian a Raiders fan when you are New York guys and root for New York teams for other sports? Is it because you don't want to side with Harry, who is such a mush that you can't do the same and set yourself up for a lifetime of failure? I hadn't thought about that theory.
Mush. Okay.
I think we picked our teams before we met Harry, I think. But we'll go with that. Yeah, we don't want to align ourselves with Harry the mush.
Yeah.
He has not.
Yeah, that's a couple
on fire, things. But I'm a mush. Okay. I'm on
things.
Fire.
He's got six choices for first touchdown in the Saints game. So
I was going to lose. So I think to answer that question, I think I think it was the time period we grew up in, right? So we grew up in the 70s. I love Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, phenomenal, Randy White, Too Tall Jones. I just fell in love with the team then. And in the other sports, I gravitated to the New York sports teams. And anyway, the Giants and Jets play in Jersey. They're really a Jersey team. They're not a New York team. Right. Can we get over calling them a New York team? They are a Jersey team.
I'm the same way. I might have gotten into them just a little later than you because I was a big Danny White guy. I mean, I was aware of Staubach and everything, and I remember the 78 Super Bowl. But, yeah, big Danny White guy, big Cowboys. They were on, you know, they played against the Giants, so you'd see them on TV. There was the show Dallas where they'd show in the beginning. I've said this a million times. The cheerleaders. There was just so much to go for. Bri, you were a big Bo Jackson fan, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, just so everybody knows, I mean, I when I was a little kid, I mean, Darren and I are 10 years apart, but I liked every team that Parlay Kid likes. So I actually liked the Cowboys up until I was like 5 or 6. It was really just whatever Darren liked, I liked because I'd watch games with them. But then, yeah, I gravitated when I was like 6 years old just to the Bo Jackson side, and then which is the worst choice I've ever made.
No, it's fine. It's about to come around. All right, thanks, Kev Walton. Cousin Sal against the odds at gmail.com. Want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Harry, you cleaned, you washed the windows for the girlfriend's parents who were on their way?
Oh, good God. It was nonstop cleaning. I had to, you know, a couple of days ago, just cleaning like crazy when it didn't need to be done. But I did my part. I did my share. So
I thought you were bragging yesterday about not having to lift the finger. Now, what happened?
I was. And then last night I had to lift many fingers doing plenty of stuff and barely even getting to watch it. It didn't matter. I guess the Giants got pummeled anyway, so it didn't really matter.
All right. There you go. The Sicoli brothers. Hey, does anyone play football on Thanksgiving anymore in your house? You got a zillion kids running around. Did anyone go out and play a turkey bowl like we used to?
I think my boys will. They play a lot of ball outside of Thanksgiving in terms of just street football and park football. So
that was the best.
Knowing Mikey Meatballs, it won't be football tomorrow. It'll be hockey or something like that.
Is that
they'll
right?
be playing a little hockey. Yeah, they'll be playing a little roller hockey up at the courts. So I could see that. That's they do that all the time now.
I could see Meatballs just setting up a bench press in the middle of the street and asking the cars to go around it all day.
Well, although Cons has been asking us for
our trying friend to get Joey
the turkey bowl back. We haven't done it in a long time.
50-plus years old.
I think I couldn't walk like the last time we did this, like 10 years ago.
I could never. These guys talk about wanting to play basketball, Mikey Meatballs and Spaghetti. I was like, I'm just going to die. Parlay Kid, I still have not forgotten about 3 years ago.
it's tough to get back on the court after that, you know.
I mean, what do you do when you can't breathe? It's not a good thing.
You know the kid we beat, his last name was Pavlik. Sal,
is that right?
Yeah.
How did you know? Is that right?
He told us it was Pavlik.
Okay, all right.
I gave him your name. We exchanged names.
I gotcha. That's a good trade. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti and Meatballs and Babyface Joel Solomon and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal. Thanks so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na